Mark, you set this up for us. I could have brought it out during confession time, but we'll get to that. I am delighted to bring the Word of God to you this morning. In one way, this is a complex subject. In another way, it's very, very simple, very direct. And I'm also delighted that the songs, the prayers, the confession, just set this up. So beautiful, the providence of God and how He works. So this morning we are addressing the issue of forgiveness. And our passage this morning is chapter 6 of Matthew, starting at verses 14 and 15. It's actually 14 and 15 is what we're dealing with, but because 14 starts with the word for, 4 is kind of the flip side of therefore. Therefore, usually when you ask, when you say therefore, you always want to ask the question, wherefore is the therefore, therefore? And so it's like, you know, continuing forward with an application. Whereas for is actually referring to what you just said, and you're about to give the reason for it. And so we have to back up a little bit to what that for is referring back to. So I'm going to start at verse 12 in the Lord's Prayer. And that is our immediate context. And that says a lot about what we're going to be addressing this morning, the very fact that this flows out of the Lord's Prayer. It also flows out of the entirety of the Sermon on the Mount. So let's go to the Word of God together now and read Matthew 6, 12 through 15. And forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. Do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For if you forgive other people for their offenses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive other people, then your Father will not forgive your offenses. Would you please join me in prayer? Spirit of God, open our hearts to your word this morning. Move in us deeply to apply this, to respond to it, way that pleases you. Lord, make us those who are forgiving people, having been forgiven much. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This is a test. This is a test, a summary test, a final, on whether or not we have really grasped what Jesus has been teaching so far in the Sermon on the Mount, and about what living out that greater righteousness looks like. It's summed up right here. It's what mercy looks like in action. What exchanging anger with reconciliation looks like. What returning evil with good looks like. What loving our enemies looks like. What purity of heart looks like, what being a peacemaker looks like. In the immediate context, it's about prayer without hypocrisy. And we can go on and tie so much of that you may think of other things, even the Beatitudes, all the way back to Jesus' call to repentance. And we cannot deny that we still sin and need forgiveness. I'm going to go to 1 John 1, starting at verse 7 and going through 10. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. And then going on in chapter 2, he says, my little children, I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, and we do, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. So this, do we know that we have been forgiven once and for all, cleansed once for all by the blood of Jesus Christ through repentance and by faith in him? But this addresses this ongoing relationship with him and with others. This addresses this continuing need to come to him and ask for daily forgiveness for daily sins. It's a test of the genuineness of our faith and repentance, about our relationship to God as our Father. Because notice he says, he refers to our Father twice here. We, of course, started the prayer, our Father, concerned for the holiness of his great name. So it's about our relationship to God as our Father and also to others. It links those relationships as inseparable. God's forgiveness of us and our forgiveness of others are inseparably linked together. The same way as the great commandment to love God with the whole of our being is inseparable from loving our neighbors as ourselves. It's a test that prompts us to ask, how deeply has the mercy of God really penetrated my heart? Have I been moved by that? Or is my heart cold and hard? It's not about earning God's forgiveness, though it may sound that way. That's not his intent. It's not about earning God's favor through our own forgiveness. It's about being prompted by his forgiveness to forgive. In 1 John again, 1 John chapter 4, verse 19 tells us, we love because he first loved us. And so we forgive because we have been forgiven. When we forgive, it is the fruit of having been forgiven by a holy God. And having been forgiven, our hearts are changed so that we extend that same grace that has been freely given to us, so that as forgiven debtors, we forgive. But an unwillingness to forgive reveals a hardened and an unregenerate heart. And to pray our Father and then ask anything of him other than for the grace and the faith, the grace of faith and repentance would be hypocrisy. See, See, the Lord's Prayer presumes that we are coming to Him, emptying pride, humbly, with a pure heart. That's the way it's framed. Have we really come to terms with the magnitude of the debt that we owe to God due to our sin? A debt that we can never repay. It's impossible for us to repay. And the cost to Him in canceling that immense debt of sin to grant us forgiveness. You remember the parable of the ungrateful and unforgiving servant in Matthew 18 that Mark referenced. I brought these. To help to see that a little bit more vividly. I brought these, let's call them ledgers, in order to make that story a little bit more visible. For the sake of illustration, let's each apply these to ourselves. Let's each put our own name to these, okay? Now, as you might already imagine, these represent what I referred to a moment ago, the debt accumulated over a lifetime of sin owed to God, impossible for any of us to pay off. And actually, these only represent the sins of the heart, our sinful thought life that no one else sees but God. So there could be so much more than this. Well, but here's the beautiful part. Here's the beautiful part. Every cover page is stamped with a red stamp that says paid in full. Paid in full. Jesus paid it. The debt didn't go away. Canceling our sin was not free. All of this was very costly. And it was God who, out of His love and His mercy, bore the weight of that cost. When we consider the benefits, we consider the benefits of the gospel and the joy and the peace that it brings, not to mention the inheritance that we gain, how much more thankful we become as we remember the cost to our Heavenly Father when He put His Son, His only Son, what He put Him through, including enduring all of His wrath for our guilt, so that there would be none left for us. What a difference it makes when we remember these two things: the magnitude of the debt that we owe to God, and that He canceled that debt Himself, forgiving our sins at His own cost by laying our burden on His Son. What grace. What grace. Oh, and then there's this. One offense against me. It's one offense. Dare I hold on to it in light of God's generous gift of loving kindness and grace to me, how can I? How can I? What a difference the enormity of God's overwhelming and irresistible love makes when I look at this tiny offense against me. When I compare the magnitude of the difference between these, this seems so trivial. Forgiveness for this becomes a given. So really, we are doubly indebted. We are debtors to God for forgiving us, to live for Him with thanksgiving. And we are debtors, now this seems ironic, we are debtors to those indebted to us to forgive them. We are indebted to the debtors to forgive. And God, who saves us by His grace, gives us enough grace to do so. We've already seen that throughout the Sermon on the Mount. That's the assumption when we come to God and call Him Father. One who loves us like no other could. There is a reason that the Lord's Prayer begins with "Our Father," and then continues throughout the same way with plural pronouns. We are joined to the Father and to one another in all things, including forgiveness. It's what life in His kingdom looks like. And how we are set apart in this world. These verses then flow out of the Lord's Prayer with our Father in mind, as well as the whole of the Sermon on the Mount, culminating in the need to forgive. And so these two verses really are summed up with two things: assurance of forgiveness, and a challenge to examine our hearts, avoiding hypocrisy in both our lives and in our prayers. Which means our lives should be a reflection of the Lord's Prayer. The prayer presupposes a pure heart, a regenerated heart that seeks to honor God's holy name. We can confidently ask forgiveness, as in verse 12. We can confidently ask forgiveness with full assurance of faith, because God has already given us a forgiving heart, and we can lay claim to that. That's the experience that we bring to the Lord's Prayer. And we know that God's grace is bigger than our own that brought us to forgive. This is where everything Jesus has said, describing what that greater righteousness looks like, becomes all the more real. All of what we've heard so far comes to life and gives life in the act of forgiveness. Forgiveness is at the very heart of the gospel. Now, this may seem crazy, but there's still more. There's still more reason to forgive besides all this. Seriously. It's the very nature of forgiveness itself. I think I heard that brought up earlier. It's the very nature of forgiveness itself. Everyone needs it. You can't live without it. Forgiveness is one of those things that no one can live without. According to the late James Montgomery Boyce, counselors and psychiatrists have told him that the one thing that causes more distress, depression, and most mental and emotional anxiety is the need for and lack of forgiveness. People are in desperate need of the assurance, the hope, and the peace that only forgiveness brings. Forgiveness heals, and yet too often people don't think to even ask for it. Psalm 32 that we read earlier in our call to worship gives us a glimpse of the pain from not seeking forgiveness and not having it. My bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. But forgiveness gives relief. And not just for the one forgiven. That's the beauty of it. That should free us, you see, all the more to forgive. That is the nature of forgiveness. It is freeing. The one who needs to forgive is weighed down. Do you know that? The one who needs to forgive is weighed down by carrying the burden of resentment or anger or that grudge that you hang on to, or anything else that restrains forgiveness in us. But when forgiveness is given, it's almost like a gift to yourself as well. The relief is like a breath of fresh air, like taking off a load that is as heavy as yourself. I've done that backpacking. Actually, I had to carry somebody almost my weight for 5 miles. And when you take that kind of weight off, suddenly you really feel so light, you almost feel like you're going to float. See? That's what it's like. Light as a feather when you forgive. You lighten the load. You had no idea how much it was weighing you down. Knowing what forgiveness is and is not also makes a big difference. We think sometimes that, and I've heard this over and over again, somebody asks forgiveness and a person says, it's okay. If it was okay, you wouldn't need to forgive it, right? The person wouldn't need to ask forgiveness. It is never okay. Don't ever say it's okay when somebody asks forgiveness. That minimizes it. And it's actually a good thing to know. Otherwise, we devalue the need for forgiveness and we brush it aside and we minimize the value of forgiveness as well. But going back to Psalm 32 again, we get a good description of what forgiveness really is. It's not saying okay, but this is what it is. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord never counts against him. So we make use of that now, see. When we forgive. So to forgive, you see, is to cancel the debt and to essentially say, I will never hold this against you. It is behind us. Period. It's not saying that anything is okay. It's not saying that a wrong was not done. A wrong was done. And we take that seriously on both sides. But I won't hold it against you. And that gives relief on both sides. And that opens the door to something incredible. That opens the door to reconciliation and to peace. And you cannot have those without forgiveness. That leads us to the final thought. The very nature of forgiveness does not allow it to be an end in itself. It reproduces something. It is meant to bring restoration and reconciliation. When we forgive others, here's something remarkable about it. We become part of something bigger than ourselves. When we forgive others, we become participants with God in the gospel by living it out, opening the door to reconciliation. When we were reconciled to God, He renewed and remade us for something beyond ourselves. 2 Corinthians 5:17 to 20 puts it this way. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting the trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Through forgiveness, we live that out. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. And it starts right here with forgiveness. Can you imagine the worldwide impact that our lives could have simply because in His grace, God forgave us and transformed our hearts to forgive, setting off a chain reaction that brings reconciliation to more than we may ever know. It's a product of our new nature. That's what it is. Forgiven debtors forgive. It's just as simple as that. And God does something huge with that. Would you pray with me? Well, Lord, thank you for reconciling us to yourself. Thank you, Lord, that in calling us to forgive, that you have invited us to be a participants in your own mission to the world. Oh, Lord, help us to truly enter into it. In the name of your Son, we pray. Amen. Pull this down.